Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at all? Sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Alan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, yeah.
Did you just hear a beep?
Yeah. I think you're on, though.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Monday, and the date is the 11th. Alan?
It is, yes.
Yes, it is the 11th of July, folks, in the year 2005. I can usually remember the year, Alan.
Yes, that's a good sign.
Dates just absolutely, totally escape me. And, folks, well, let me first share our spiritual message. And this is from A Course in Miracles, and I will get off this. Some of these statements are very meaningful for me, and I thought maybe they would be for you. It's A Course in Miracles. It says, there is a place in you where there is perfect peace. There is a place in you where nothing is impossible. There is a place in you where the strength of God abides. That would be the strength of Creator, wouldn't it, folks? And we have Alan Watt with us tonight. I was out in the garden until 8:30. And certainly not prepared. And Alan always is so gracious and kindly agreed to come on with us. And we didn't really have anything set. Well, we don't normally anyway, I guess, do we, Alan?
That's right, yeah.
Except sometimes I say, well, I'd like to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
And what I'd like to talk about right now is you're in northern Canada, and your temperature today was 111 degrees.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 111. And it stayed there for hours. And it's it only started to cool down about an hour ago. And it's down to about 86 right now.
Oh, well, that's a blessing.
They had emergency stations opened up in some cities called cooling centers, where they'd rush people to get cooled down, you know. Yeah.
And so this is, you don't know if they're claiming that records have been set, huh? You know, I mean, you're in northern.
They haven't said anything so far as I know.
Well, do you know if temperatures like this in the area where you are, I mean, were they at one time common or normal, Alan?
No, this is not normal at all. And especially further north, I mean, these temperatures should be getting, should be close to the equator, but not this far north.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would think that you would probably have, at the most, days in the 80s, and probably cool evenings. I mean, you know, that's the way it used to be here. Mm-hmm. Well, when we moved here 10 years ago, we would have, it could be a very beautiful, maybe, you know, 80, 85 degrees, go down to 55 at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful sleeping weather, but to have 111 degree,
mm-hmm.
that's like out in Dead Valley.
Is that humidity on top of that?
Yeah. With humidity, yes.
Yeah.
So that has to... Is there a formula for figuring out, you know, well, I suppose there is. If the temperature is 110 and mm-hmm. the humidity is like, what, 70%?
Yeah.
Figuring out the actual heat factor, Alan.
Up here you got so many lakes as well, so the more heat you get, the more evaporation into the air, and it gets terribly, terribly humid. But this is ridiculous the way it is right now. Even if you're sitting still, you're soaked, you know.
Wow.
But they can do wonders these days with science.
Yeah, they can, can't they?
Oh yeah, I mean they're dosing the skies with all these chemicals. Then they cause the smog, as they call it, and then they blame the public for driving and causing the smog, which is coming down from the aircraft above you. So the idea is to get everybody off the road, and the public will, because they never look up at the sky. They'll believe what they're told.
Right.
And they'll say, "Why, God, well, it's getting warmer, and it certainly is." It's some kind of smog.
Must be
so
global.
Maybe we should stop driving.
And global warming.
Oh, yeah.
And we have to be good little citizens.
Yeah.
And carpool.
Mm-hmm.
And give up our second car. Well, those are
And
those
then eventually
who have
they'll,
them.
They'll move us in towards the cities, the habitat
yeah.
areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the agenda, you know. How else do you get the public to move? You cause the problems, and then you force them to move.
Yep.
That's
well,
standard.
You think about it. It's the same way they caused the environmental problem.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you when it occurred to me when we were going. I think I've mentioned this before. When we Chuck and I were going to the watershed meetings,
uh-huh.
and they had the Army Corps of Engineers come out, and this one woman brought a video to show us because
mm-hmm.
we had so many questions, and she wanted to answer our concerns, and they showed actual photographs or movie film of the pollution, Alan, that was coming out of the factories right directly into the rivers.
Yes.
And she said, our problem used to be point source solution
mm-hmm.
because we knew exactly where it was coming from, and we got all of our, you know, wonderful laws passed that prohibits it, but now the problem is non-point source pollution. Well, you know what that is, Alan? It's
mm-hmm.
runoff from the farmers' fields.
That's right.
And they're starting to, I won't say who this person is, but this person has two horses and uh-huh. about 40 acres for the horses to graze on.
Yeah.
And they've already been to visit this person to find out what they're going to do with that damn horse manure that's being dropped on the fields, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's sick.
Well, again, this is all agenda,
and
it's going to get more and more ridiculous as they go along.
Well, I'll tell you one more thing that this brings to mind. I have a report here for an environmental working group out of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and they discovered all kinds of toxic metals that were being put into the fertilizer that was sold to the farmers for their fields.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking cadmium, nickel, lead, all kinds of heavy metals, et cetera, because there was no congressional oversight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the farmers, well, guess what? Because there's no congressional oversight, they don't have to put on the bags. There was arsenic in it and that kind of stuff. They don't have to put on the bags that these the ingredients are in the fertilizer.
Yeah.
So the farmers put this fertilizer on the fields, and then they get the farmers for polluting the streams with these toxic metals, Alan.
Sure. Sure they do. Well, everything's a setup because everything's a plan, and they must make the plan come to fruition by causing the problems And so they are responsible for it in the first place, just like they're responsible for spraying the skies on a daily basis and at night as well, you know. So the stuff is coming down, it's in the rainwater, it's in the snow even in the winter time. And of course they can also cause this intense refraction of sunlight. Once you have the air saturated with metallic particles, billions and billions and trillions of tiny metallic particles, they act like mirrors, you see, and they reflect the light back and forth all the time. So it simply doesn't hit the Earth or bounce back and go into outer space. It's bouncing through all these mirrors, and this is causing the warming effect. And this has been noticed in previous years when they've been spraying heavily.
Wow.
So they cause the problem, sure, and then they blame the public for causing it. And unfortunately, it works pretty well because the public never look up at the sky.
I know. You know, my new neighbor going to be across the road, Donnie, was out brush hogging tonight, stopped, and we chatted a bit before I came in. And we happened to be standing out there, and they happened to be chemtrailing us.
Mm-hmm.
And I had talked to Donnie about this before, but you could tell it just didn't gel, Alan.
Yeah.
And I said, look it up there. There's chemtrail, Donnie. And he looked up. He says, yep, uh-huh, Alan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then there were two more over towards the, to the west.
Uh-huh.
And I started just talking to him about it when I said, I got some emails about this.
Uh-huh.
And that was way back then, wasn't it, Alan?
It was.
And I was reading it, and I just I didn't disbelieve it, but I needed some proof. And then I got calls from friends. A call from a friend in Ohio. Her husband is a doctor. She said, Jackie, I don't know what's going on in the skies, but she said, you ought to see. They've been putting these lines down, and they're puffing up. And she said, everybody is sick. And I said, oh, my, well, I'm going to fax you or email you some information that I have. 3 days later, I get a call from a friend in Denver. She told me the same thing. She said they've been laying these trails north and south for half the day, and then they turned them east and west. She said there's a perfect checkerboard up there.
Yeah.
And she said everybody's windows have this greasy, like, film on it, car windows, etc. So, Alan, I started talking about it, and I am telling you, I got calls from all over the country.
Yeah.
All over the country. And I had never seen them. But I was telling Donnie all this. And so he was listening to me because it was my awakening, so to speak. And I said, you know, I was telling our listeners, I was doing the broadcast at 6 p.m. at the time. And whenever this happened, it was the sun was beginning to set over there in the west, and I could see it out the door from my studio. And at that night, I was saying, well, I've never seen a chemtrail. See, we live in the country. And I happened to look up, and there was a perfect X in the sky, Alan.
Yeah,
and
I
watched the plane putting the underline under the X. That was my first experience actually seeing one of these things, although I have lots of photographs that listeners have sent.
Yeah, but Joe Average can see them for himself if he wants to just look up once in a while. Because they're doing it everywhere.
No, they don't, honey. They don't see it when they look up, Alan.
Well, yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I told you this. I believe that when you know, the children know what chemtrails are. My grandchildren. And Jody was telling me that she and Ashy and Ashy's boyfriend were outside one day, and Jody looked up, and there they were, you know, laying the chemtrails. And she said, "Look up there, Ash." And Ash said, "Oh my God, Momo would be having fits right now." And her boyfriend said, what? She said, well, look up there. And he looked up. He said, what? And then she had to explain to him what the hell he was seeing. Excuse my language. What he was seeing, Alan.
Yeah.
He looked up and said, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it even at a local Phillips station. And right above the sky, there's a whole, well, it was a mess of trails, and they were still laying them. And I just mentioned it to the guy that was filling the tank in the vehicle, and he just casually glanced up and it didn't penetrate.
No, well, see, that's what I saw happen with Donnie, and I proceeded to go through this little story to him, and then he went, "Huh?" I said, "Just watch it, Donnie. Watch it pop up." I stopped in a little plant store when I did grocery shopping last week and told the lady there about him, Alan.
And you see, that's what Zbigniew Brzezinski talked about in his books with the technotronic era, which was to do with mind control for the masses. And he said that shortly the public will be unable to think for themselves. Instead, they will be downloaded with their thoughts from the previous day's news.
Oh, wow.
And that's all they'll be able to talk about. In other words, if the news does not mention something, they themselves will dismiss it if they see it. You see?
It doesn't register, does it?
No. Because technically, they've got to a stage where they don't think for themselves. They expect the media is there to do the thinking for them. And will tell them what they should think about or worry about or be concerned about. So therefore, if the media doesn't mention the fact they're being sprayed, and you do, then they will ignore what you say.
Yes, exactly.
It has to come from the media.
And it's the same thing with people when you show them the poison warning on toothpaste.
Yeah.
If you swallow more than enough to brush your teeth, seek medical help or call a poison center immediately. Keep away from children under six. We start teaching our children to brush their teeth when they get teeth, Alan.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody reads that, but you show it to them and they just go, "Huh, I didn't know that."
Mm-hmm.
It's poison.
I know.
And you know what I was just wondering? We've talked about this on the air. I wonder if we have any listener listening to this broadcast that brushes their teeth with fluoride toothpaste. And if they do, if any, unless you're a new listener and this is all new to you, then, Alan, what would somebody do when they realize that they know this, but they're still doing it, if they realize it?
Yeah, well, it's doublethink. I mean, it's doublethink if they can know something is poisonous, but because the ads are still on TV with smiling faces and happy people, it confuses them. They can't go all the way with the fact that it's poison, because those that look after us in a socialistic system, they obviously wouldn't do that to
but
us.
But do you think that any of our listeners think that Big Brother government is benevolent?
Unfortunately, you do have some.
Really?
Yeah. They can't quite get it, because... See, the ordinary people cannot imagine evil on such a grand scale being committed upon the people by agendas which your own government participates in.
Well,
don't think there's been one politician in any Western country come out and publicly talked about the chemtrails overhead. Not one.
Well, of course they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
and so therefore, some people, unfortunately, because they don't talk about it at all, the person who still thinks government is real becomes confused and thinks, well, if they don't talk about it, maybe it's nothing at all.
Well, what about the person that sees the poison on the toothpaste tube?
It's the same thing. They're pretty well in double think, as they say. They're able to hold two opposing opinions in their head at the same time about the same subject. Which means technically, at least on this subject, they are psychotic.
So in other words, they could say, "I know that's true, but I really don't believe it."
Yes. And yet that same person, if you said to them, "Drink a pint of gasoline," they think I'm crazy.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And you say, "Well, why don't you drink the gasoline?" "Because it's poison. We know that's poison."
Right.
Say, "Well, what does it say here about the fluoride? What says poison?"
Mm-hmm.
"Are you going to keep using it?" "Oh, yeah." So that's double think right there.
Yeah.
They cannot believe those smiling faces or the authorities would allow ads on TV that would harm them. They truly believe that all business is there to be benevolent. They believe that. And that's a tragedy. Brzezinski said it, the people would give over their own ability to think and make decisions for themselves. He says they will give it over to experts and the authority. And unfortunately, people have been raised now to actually believe that that's what the media is there for, is to do their thinking and to be their watchdog for them. And of course, it never was,
yeah.
And it certainly is not now.
Because, you know, it occurs to me, people that, you know, believed that, we have to go to Iraq,
uh-huh,
because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
I know because I saw it on the news.
That's right.
Well, now people are beginning to realize that this was a hoax, because guess what?
Yeah.
They've announced it.
Mm-hmm.
The media itself has said there were no weapons of mass destruction.
That's right.
And now they believe it.
Mm-hmm. And
but
I
wonder how they feel about the war. Well, Saddam Hussein was a tyrant. We had mm-hmm. to go over there and take him out.
Yeah. Well, it was on the news here when he even had the inquiries into it after it was all over. And there's a panel there with George Bush on it and Colin Powell and a few others. And George Bush said at the time when he was asked the question, he says, "Oh, I never said that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11.
Oh.
And that is true, you know.
Did he really?
They left it to the media to eventually infer that Saddam Hussein was connected with it. And so he justified it by saying, well, the world's better off without Saddam Hussein there anyway. That was his justification.
What about Osama bin Laden?
Oh, he's all forgotten about now.
Yeah, well, you know what? I
yeah.
got an email, and of course, just because there's a photograph that looks like Osama bin Laden
uh-huh.
doesn't mean it's true, but that he is possibly not even alive today.
It's possible he never existed.
Well, that's a possibility too, isn't it?
Although
Absolutely. The bin Laden family
mm-hmm.
it was very closely connected to the Bushes.
They've done documentaries for the CBC to show you that the Bush family and the Bin Laden family were actually business partners.
Yes, they were.
In fact, the family who got the rebuilding job of the Twin Towers after the first bombing was the Bin Laden Construction Group.
You're kidding.
But no, and that was Daddy Bush that awarded them the contract.
Oh, my God.
So they're all in bed together, yeah.
But you're saying maybe... Well, I think Osama bin Laden probably did exist. He was a CIA asset, I think. I don't know.
The thing is that...
they could have just...
He took the place of Goldstein in 1984. You've always got to have a bad guy hiding that you never catch, who does all these terrible things. And with all their high-tech technology and millions of cameras in London even...
Wait. Okay. It took me a little bit to compute what you said.
Uh-huh.
Goldstein in 1984.
Yeah.
I was wondering who the heck Goldstein was.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize you were talking about the book, Orwell's book.
Uh-huh.
And Goldstein was the terrorist, wasn't he?
Yeah, all you ever saw was him on video. You never actually saw the person. Just a figure on the video that they told you was Goldstein, that was behind all of the world's terror.
Uh huh.
And it's the same with this Bin Laden. But they can't find the guy with all their equipment and millions of spies all over the world, and the fact that they've infiltrated every group you could possibly imagine. In fact, they sponsor most of them. And with all the cameras everywhere, as I say, in London, they couldn't even stop these bombings.
Yeah.
No, who's kidding who?
Well, there was a French newspaper that printed a story that bin Laden had been in a hospital undergoing kidney dialysis.
That's right, he was.
And that the CIA had actually been to visit him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe he didn't exist, but I think there probably was somebody. But the whole point is they just threw his name out there just like they did what's his name at Murrah Federal Building.
That's the same thing. Yeah.
Hell, they were announced.
Sure, but the fact is that the Bin Laden family are actually Arabic nobility. So for one to split off from the rest of his family and supposedly go in the opposite direction is almost impossible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they needed a Ben Laden for that time because they already had all of those countries slated for attack back in the 1990s in the New American Century Plan.
Right.
That was set up by Cheney and Bush and Wolfowitz and a whole bunch of them. They had that in their order, that they wanted to attack Afghanistan first, then Iraq, then Iran, then Syria. And that was all first done in 1992. Then it was rewritten for the New American Century Group, which is the group that the Cheney and Wolfowitz belong to, and they republished it in 1998. And sure enough, in 2001, they started the invasion right in that same sequence. So this was planned years ago.
Oh yeah,
to take over the Middle East.
Yeah, and that brings to mind Norman Dodd,
mm-hmm.
when he got into the records of the Carnegie Foundation, their
yeah.
minutes of their meetings. Mm-hmm. They planned, and it was probably planned well before, but maybe this was the finalization, their details,
yeah.
World War One. This
yeah.
was in 1906.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, we should probably start it in the Balkans because that's always been a place of, you know, unrest.
Unrest. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I'll be a son of a gun. But
mm-hmm.
they didn't start it till after 1914, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because, and I don't know where I've read this, Alan, they didn't want to do it, have that war, until the Federal Reserve Act was passed in the U.S.
Yeah.
so the American people could pay for the war.
That's right. It was all done to bring in world government. And that's why they wanted the League of Nations set up, to be the precursor of the UN, but to bring in world government. And H.G. Wells, who worked for the British government as a propagandist, in fact, the term that he put out there, the propaganda term, was, this is the war to end all wars. And so that was the slogan that all the troops in the world went by and died by, thinking they were going to bring in a more better world, you see.
Oh, because
so,
they thought they would get their League of Nations.
Uh-huh.
In, at that time, that was, Woodrow Wilson was pushing that, wasn't he?
Yeah, in fact, America funded most of the meetings.
Uh-huh.
And
prior to the League of Nations, they called it the League to Enforce mm-hmm. Peace.
That's right. Yeah. And before that, it was the Concert of
peace.
Europe. You know, so they've tried this for a long time. And after World War One, H.G. Wells wrote in The Open Conspiracy, this was a non-fictional work, he said, not enough countries are willing to give up their sovereignty, so we shall have to have another world war, which they did. You know. So everything that happens, every
yeah.
major occurrence which happens, is planned that way, long in advance. Everything.
And yet,
just like the New American Century in the 90s planned to establish what they call the democratic system in all the Muslim countries. So nothing happens spontaneously.
The what? Oh, the dynasty?
Uh-huh.
Did you say?
Pardon?
Dynastic? Did you call it dynastic?
As I say, nothing happens by itself.
Right.
It's all planned way ahead of time, including the finances
yeah.
which would be involved, and even how much taxation you would need from the public to pay for it.
Yeah.
All of this is planned in strategy.
Oh, it's very clearly laid out in
uh-huh.
the protocols back in
yeah.
the
yeah.
last three or four protocols.
Yes.
Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion.
Yeah.
You talk about a controlled economy, Alan.
Oh, yes, this is a controlled economy.
They laid it out beautifully. We have to take a break.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you in about a minute or a minute and a half with Alan Watt. Stay with us.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn,
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Okay, we're back. And while we're at it, with your pen in hand, Alan has written his third book, and it is available now. If you haven't read 1 and 2, you really should do that first, because they really follow one another. Folks, for those of you who are maybe fairly new listeners, to try to imagine that everything that we have thought that we knew, everything we've been taught in history, really happened, to find out that it's all a lie is really quite unbelievable. And Alan started actually coming on air with us around in, oh, it was December, wasn't it, Alan, of 98?
Yeah.
And we did 5 weeks together. Alan pretty much blew our minds away with the ancient history. And I kept telling our listeners, I don't know that what Alan's telling us is true, because I have not done this research, and I have not read the books and know the things that he's telling us. So I kept, in a sense, warning our listeners not to take it in like it's gospel truth, but to consider it. And then I started getting mail from listeners, copies of old books, et cetera, and say, look, this is exactly what Alan has been telling us. And finally, Alan really didn't have a choice. Well, he did, and he made the right one, of course, but to sit down and put this in writing. But it isn't just Alan's commentary. There are photocopies of ancient books, folks, that it gets to a point where you cannot deny it as much as you would like to. And I can tell you for myself that there was a period of time where I felt that, in fact, I said this to Alan one day, I said, I feel like I'm in another world someplace, and nothing I see looks real to me. And Alan said, that's a very good place to start. And I know that is to open our minds. I don't, you can't just wash out all that garbage that's been in it, but you can replace it. You can replace it with truth, or as close as we can get to truth, because let's face it, if we aren't there, if we haven't been there ourselves, we don't actually know. But, you know, Alan, will you forgive me for going on like this?
Yeah.
All right. But, folks, I remember one time I challenged him, kind of. I do that every now and then. And I asked him how many books he had read. And he said, oh, I don't know, about 1,000. Or maybe he said thousands. I don't know. I said, well, how do you know that the books that you've read are truth? And the one thing he told me that I have noticed, folks, and I know that this is so, although I cannot prove it, of course, but when you read enough, and you read from varied authors and various histories, and there's a thread that runs through, as Alan said, you're never going to get all the truth in one book, but when you put enough of it together, there is a thread that runs through that you know that there is truth there. And so, getting back to his books, this is what he has done with book 1, 2, and 3. And book three is called Cutting Through. Alan, I don't remember which title the first two. Or is it?
It's okay to call it one and two and three.
Yeah, one, two, and three, because it is cutting through the BS, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, folks, each of the books are $25. That includes the postage. And as I said earlier, if you don't have one and two, you would want to start there. If you have one and two, you definitely will want to have number three. And I'm going to give you Alan's address right now. It's $25 per book, and it has to be in either cash, that would be those slave credits, Federal Reserve notes, or it has to be an international postal money order, and you can get those right from your post office. But you can't use a U.S. money order, or you can't use a check, a personal check, or you can't use it. So just remember that. Alan's address is Alan, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T-T. His address is Site, S-I-T-E, 41, and then it's Box 4. That is Astaire, Ontario. That's Astaire, like Fred Astaire, only it has an E on the end of it, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario. And I'm printing as I'm telling you this, so I'm giving you time to write it down. And the postal code is a letter and a number, a letter and a number, and a letter and a number. And it is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1, P3E4N1, Canada. And then your name and address, full name, has to be on the from, or they will not deliver your mail. And if you want to talk with Alan, although right now he has visitors, Alan, I don't know if you would like to take calls while your visitors are there, or
they can call. You know, people. I try and take calls at any time anyway, because there's always somebody out there that you can sort of catch and
okay.
The right time. You know.
All right. His address or his phone number, folks, if you would like to call and talk with Alan, is 705. That's in Canada. And by the way, Alan, you know this new Skynet,
yes,
long distance service I have. Do you know? You know how they say it.
Uh-huh.
Remember, they go, "Welcome to Skynet. Remember, for all calls within the U.S., dial a 1. For international calls, dial 011.
Uh-huh.
And with Canada, we only have to dial 1.
Yeah, we're all 1 anyway.
All
yeah.
calls within the U.S., dial 1, and you dial a 1 to get to Canada. Anyway, uh-huh. folks, his phone number is 705-695-0416, 705-695-0416. And while I'm urging you, encouraging you to buy Alan's books, I'm reminding you also that this broadcast is brought to you by you folks. And boy, Alan, sometimes I feel like we ask a lot, but it isn't asking for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're not asking them to buy the books for you, but for them,
right.
And to help to support the broadcast. It's actually their broadcast.
Yeah.
Because I don't do this for anything other than to share and to hopefully and prayerfully enlighten our listeners. And I couldn't offer them this information if I didn't know it already.
Yeah.
So I'm not on here like it's my avocation or something.
Sure. In other words, it's not a business.
Oh, gosh. Very far from
it. Like a lot of other ones are.
Yeah. No. No. So anyway, back to what we were talking about. I had a thought just before we took our break. All the stuff we talk about sounds like such a downer sometimes, Alan.
Uh-huh.
And I you know what, remember I told you I'm reading novels, a series of books that I had read some time past about ancient people. The one I'm on right now is about the Cahokia, Illinois mound, mound builders.
Yeah.
And they weave the story. There's a huge bibliography at the end of it. So, you know, there is probably some history interwoven into the novel, but it made me think about this last night. Cahokia, evidently at that time, was the huge distribution center for all of the other tribes that lived nearby. And they got this ruler in. This is, of course, a novel. The people paid tribute to Cahokia to keep trade going, Alan. Traders that came in. But anyway, there were people who defied this just totally powerful thousands of man's army and such and such. And they would go to the villages or to their little, where the clans stayed, and they would say, well, here's your tribute. Well, we can't give it to you because our people will starve. They'll die. Okay, fine, we'll kill you. And then there were those that defied it. And it made me think about this, Alan. We even though they plan it so beautifully and so perfectly, it doesn't mean that we should sit back and do nothing and say, oh, well, they're so almighty powerful that there's no sense in making a phone call or whatever somebody is led to do. There's no sense in it. I have a feeling that every tiny little thing that each and every one of us do makes a difference, Alan.
Yeah.
And at least holds the plant, sort of derails it every now and then. So I guess that's what I wanted to say, that we shouldn't get to a point where we just creep and give up.
Oh, no. But that's what we do have to realize, too, that the motto that this system goes by, the ones who cause the problems, is that the end justifies the means, which means they are totally ruthless and they will do whatever it takes at all, to achieve their objectives. So we have to realize what we're dealing with, though.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And these people, I mean, it's like Tony Blair in England. He was ready to go out. The people didn't want him. Nobody wanted him. Didn't want him.
Tell her, does this have anything to do with that memo that came forth?
Well, it's been way more than that. It's everything. It's all the lies that he told about weapons of mass destruction, the fuzzy photographs that they used to say that these were rocket launchers, which turned out to be trailers for weather balloons that Britain had sold them, you know. Lie after lie after lie, and the fact that none of his party wanted this, it was only him to go to war.
It's become public now.
And so they're ready to kick him out, and the public this week were ready to have a mass demonstration and maybe even riots in the streets over the new ID card that they've been told they're going to get. And lo and behold, right on cue, the so-called mysterious bombers bombed London, you know.
Yeah.
Which put Tony Blair back up there on the grandstand. Oh, I'm here to protect you. We're doing all we can. It's these nasty Muslims that did this. A brand new cell that we didn't even know existed, which is the biggest joke of all, you know. And it happened right on cue. You couldn't get better terrorists as friends for Tony Blair than they've got right now.
You couldn't what?
You couldn't get better friends as terrorists. If they were real terrorists, they would just leave it the way it's going. Tony Blair would get kicked out.
Oh, right, okay.
You see? And his party as well. And also the public would have their riots in the streets about the ID card. And but lo and behold, right on cue, when they needed him most, the mysterious Ben Laden's group blows up a few buses and things, And this is all out the window now. We're back to war again.
Are they blaming this on Bin Laden?
Oh, yes. It was a brand new faction that they didn't know existed. Yeah. The famous MI6 that had infiltrators in every group in the whole planet didn't know this group existed. And they have millions of cameras all over London, but not one picked them up doing this.
Oh, my.
It's so mysterious. We're all amazed. Yes. So it's
so
a joke,
now,
you know.
So now Tony Blair
gets
off the hook.
And the public cannot bring themselves to imagine that there are evil people running their country that would go to these lengths, kill their own people to justify a warfare.
Yeah.
That's why this technique works. That's why it works. As you see, the end justifies the means. To them, if they had to kill 500,000 people or 1,000,000 people, they would do that if it was worthwhile in their cause.
Oh, yes, they would. And, you know, that brings us back to the spiritual nature of man and the fact that we don't know from one day to the next, Alan, what is going to happen.
Yeah.
So, therefore, maybe the most important thing that we can do, and I think you said this in your own little, when I say little, it isn't, what you say isn't little, but you said it all comes down to the individual.
Yeah.
And I'm just, of course, expanding on it as I have a tendency to do, but that getting conscious of our spiritual nature, learning to listen to the voice within us, and I don't mean like, you know, we hear voices, but when we get know that something we're doing is wrong, to stop it. And it doesn't matter, I mean, even if it means your job, that you say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going in and stealing people's children just so that the human health and human services can get $37,000.
Yeah.
And
well, it's up to the individual.
Yeah.
Because it's coming down to the wire. You will find most people will go, and in fact, they've done polls already after this bombing in London. That shows you how they were ready for all of this. They've already done polls to see how many people will take the ID card now. Suddenly, they claim anyway, it's now about 85%, which is about right, actually, because study after study for the last 100 years has found that about 87% of the public will always do what they're told. And so this bombing has been good for the ID card, which is a must-be in Masonic terminology. They had it ready years ago, but they must get it through now.
So
there's only about 3% at any time who are actually awake to everything. And I mean by that fully awake. There are other people who are caught at different levels. They're part in the system, part out of the system. They're part believers still in the system. But only 3% are truly conscious at any one time. And it will come down to what are you going to do when they say, well, you know, you got to take this card. And card is only the precursor to the chip.
Yeah.
You know.
We have a call here. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Alan, you there?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, you can't hear him, but he can hear you.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you. Okay. All right, okay. He can hear me, but I can't hear him.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I'll
right.
Talk to him. Okay, Alan, yeah, it's Storm. I'm a frequent caller of Jackie. He is talking there. It sounds really heavy and interesting. I'm glad I caught you at the right time. First of all, Alan, I believe that Blair knew about that bomb. I believe that possibly, I can't prove it.
Storm, that's exactly what he said, honey.
No, but I believe he did it, too. I believe he had something to do with it. In other words, I think him and Queen Elizabeth had something to do with that bombing. Because
they don't dirty their hands, Storm.
Well, that doesn't mean they don't have something to do with it. They can give the orders and let somebody else do it. MI5 is there.
No, you don't understand, honey.
Yeah, okay.
No, there are people behind the scenes giving them orders.
Yeah, but that would be the Queen, though, if you're talking about...
No, okay.
Yeah.
Storm,
Oh, you don't think the Queen gives Blair orders?
Alan, would you like to comment on this? If
okay.
Storm.
No, the Queen doesn't give any orders.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Storm, hang up, and Alan will comment on this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
No, the Queen doesn't. Even has to have anything to do with this. She knows the agenda, and that's all that she must
that's
be cares
right.
about.
She doesn't have to know the dirty little details.
Oh, no, that's
they
all
don't
she
dirty
care
their
of.
Hands.
Yeah. And and Blair is the same, too. You know, there's a worldwide agenda here. It's not a handful of people. There
Blair
are many,
is,
many people involved in it.
Blair is a puppet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mind you, I mean, he must accomplish his mission, too. And therefore, his head would probably roll if he doesn't, because he's been the main cheerleader for this war from the beginning. And he knows that, too. And there's no one else, really, who's so pro-war to take his place. So he's got his keep there. And these bombings have helped him tremendously, as I say, to get back up there on center stage again.
Right.
I'm Big Daddy here to protect you.
And it doesn't mean that Blair didn't have an idea this was going to happen.
Well, I'm sure he would have forewarning.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, in fact, Netanyahu was over there because the G8 was meeting over there. And of course, in Masonic terminology, 8 is above, so below the number 8. The two circles joined together, above and below. And that's what it means. It also means money and power. In Masonic terminology, and G before 8 means gate, so this is the gateway. It's a whole language here which the public has no idea about, but all Masons understand. So they were meeting over in Britain at the time of this bombing. They were in Scotland, but Benjamin Netanyahu was over there as well in London, and he was told not to move from his room. So they knew that these bombs were going to go off.
Yeah.
So yeah, they knew. It was a must-be. They had to get the ball rolling once more. It had been stalled by public opinion. And now, of course, they can rush ahead with their ID cards. And of course, they pinpointed Iran right away, which is next on the list.
Right.
That they drew up in the 1990s.
Iran, Syria,
after.
Libya.
Yes. And so Afghanistan, Syria, then Libya. And so Iran's next. And they said... they believe this new terrorist cell. This was about 5 minutes after the bombing, eh? They believe this new terrorist cell is being kept and trained, and they're based in Iran.
So. Oh.
Yeah.
They didn't know who it was.
No.
Very mysterious. Never knew about him before.
Uh-huh.
Hello.
And this is how all this is done, you see.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air. Maybe it's the wrong number. Yeah, it's how it's all done.
Yeah, that's how it's all. It's like the passport that fluttered down from the Twin Towers when this explosion of fuel, jet fuel, went off, and this immaculate passport fluttered down off one of the
right.
supposed terrorists, not a Scotch mark anywhere.
Right.
And so that pinpointed who did it, you see.
Whoever you are, caller, turn your radio down.
Yeah, okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that the Queen Elizabeth ordered the death of some people in Ireland a while ago when they were trying to get them out of Ireland. And we know that this was like many years ago, but that's not true. The Queen can get orders to murder and bump people off, and it has happened before. There also are some evidence somewhere that she might have caused the person, the boyfriend that was going with Diana.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not talking about Blair, but no, the Queen, because when you're talking about...
Okay, Storm, we're almost out of time here.
Yeah, but she's one of the top people of the Illuminati.
Thank you.
Of the world, she is. She owns British Petroleum. She meets at the Bilderberger meetings. She's tied in with top people with Rockefeller. I mean, she's one of the top people of the world. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks,
right.
Storm. Any comment, Alan?
Well, the Queen doesn't have to deal with any of it at all. She knows the agenda. She knows the money side of it. She knows she's been told that this elite must always be in control of the people. the methods are irrelevant to her. It's all done for her.
Well, actually,
and as far as Lady Di goes, the reason she was suddenly called from Princess Diana to Lady Di by the press was because that's a Masonic terminology that the lady was going to die.
Oh, my
you
God.
That's in your face.
Lady Di, oh, my God.
Yeah. You, people don't even know what they read.
Well, of course not, Alan.
They don't.
Well, I didn't.
You see, so, no, it's always in your face. It's so much so that the public never see it for themselves, you know.
I think that Storm, well, he listens to a lot of other broadcasts and has a tendency to take in what he's hearing as truth. And I don't think he just quite understands that she's almost the same kind of puppet that George Bush is. She's a figurehead.
Oh, that's a fact, yeah.
She's a figurehead.
Yes.
And the people that have controlled the kings and queens and pharaohs and et cetera down through the ages have the same kind of control.
Absolutely, yeah.
So she knows the agenda. She lets it happen. But I think that it would be good if people just could understand that the heads of nations are there at the behest of the controllers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, 2000 B.C., there was a pharaoh in Egypt who found out that he was not the boss.
Really?
And he was surrounded by priests who decided who he would see and who he would not see, and often he wouldn't even know that people had come to talk to him.
Oh, that was what's his
name? No, it was long before him. And he actually tried to jump out the window to meet people that he saw being turned away by the priests.
Oh, wow.
To find out what they were there to see him for. The priests were always in control.
Uh-huh.
And it's no different today. It doesn't mean that these elite people are not part of certain bloodlines and they're very pompous and they truly believe they're superior. They do believe they're superior. But they're not the ones that sit and plan all this stuff.
Exactly.
This is planned by strategical think tanks.
And they don't give the orders.
They don't have to.
They don't have to. We're out of our hour.
Uh-huh.
And thank you for taking the time to be with us tonight, Alan.
It's a pleasure on a very hot night.
Yeah. Well, keep cool. Have you got your fans going?
No, I do, yeah.
Oh, good. Well, say hello to your guests for me.
I will do.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thanks for being here. And thanks again, Alan. Good night.
It's a pleasure.
Good night, folks.
Caesar, that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly